Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio, caught between a rock and another bigger rock.
Welcome to this week's episode of Movie Maintenance, where some movies just need fixing. I'm Carney.
I'm Gabe.
I'm Damien.
And this week, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. You know where you are. You're in the jungle,
baby. You're gonna die. The song by that band. I'm not good at Handsome Tom's dad jokes.
Yeah. Handsome Tom's not good at his jokes.
No, I know, but...
I mean, jokes have been generous to begin with.
I think he spends an inordinate amount of time thinking about them, though.
Yeah. Which... He plans them out weeks in advance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is the second Dwayne Johnson film that has Welcome to the Jungle in the title.
Yeah, right.
Do you guys remember that one he did with Sean William Scott?
Yeah,
that
fuck, it is too.
In America, it's called The Rundown, but for us, we got Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is actually a pretty fun movie with Christopher Walken and Rosario Dawson
movie.
Was in it.
Yeah,
it was like one of her first ones. Good movie. But
yeah.
This one, yeah.
It was good. It was good. It was, I think for me, I went in thinking, especially because you guys had enjoyed it, it's a kind of forgettable way, but I went in going, I know I'm going to like this movie, but I also know it's not going to be the movie I want.
Okay.
As in an honest sequel to the original.
So you weren't expecting that, but what you wanted was something that continued straight on.
Yeah.
Well not, years not later
it didn't need whatever. To continue straight on, but I wanted it to have the same tone and stakes as the first one.
Yeah.
Where this one I knew was just going to be a laugh, which it was, and it was a good laugh, but it definitely didn't have... Like, the first one's pretty deep. It's pretty dark at times, you know.
I just rewatched it this morning, and tone and stakes would be the big thing.
Yeah.
Because that film, fuck, it had them. It was just that classic, like, 90s Spielberg clone type
film. Yeah,
yeah. It just hits everything.
Joe Johnson directed it, yeah?
Yeah, and he's actually great for just films that don't really exceed expectations, but they just deliver.
For Spielberg light, sort of.
Yeah, he's kind of your quintessential Spielberg light
Well-rounded
director.
Family fare.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And he directed the best Jurassic Park film, so, you know.
I've watched that recently.
It's so good.
It's a lot of fun.
So good.
He just does fun movies.
It's the one that it's the Jurassic Park film that I would just put on and enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to think about anything. It's just great.
Is your favorite bit when he's just talking to the kid and that's that quote about something like, I liked you.
You liked dinosaurs back then.
Yeah, back when
actually,
you liked dinosaurs.
My favorite bit is the raptor on the plane being like, Alan.
Oh, that's
fart.
I nearly paused the movie to message you and be like, what the fuck just happened? I can't
I
believe they did
so
that.
Much. It's so shit. No, I watched it again the other night. It's so much fun because it actually has heart.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, you know, you like dinosaurs back then.
Yeah.
It's like, well, back then they hadn't tried to eat me. Mm. It's just like a lovely, lovely film for the Alan Grant character.
Do you hope he comes back into the fold?
Like, I think it's one of those things where it's like, I would enjoy the nostalgia of it and I just like Sam Neill in things, but I don't think they need to. I think, like, you know, as far as the Jurassic Park films have, like, planned out character arcs, he's had a pretty good one over the two films he was in. And
yeah,
you
definitely.
Might as
well
leave it
there. Cool. Yeah.
But Jumanji.
Jumanji, yeah. Do you think that, like, in terms of, because Robin Williams was huge in the 90s,
yeah.
probably along with Jim Carrey, they're like the two biggest actors of the 90s.
Yeah.
Is this, like, his quintessential role, do you think?
I think, for me, personally, I think it's either this or Hook.
Yeah, fuck. What about Hook?
Hook was great.
Hook is so great. Hook didn't get received very well at the time, but...
Yeah, I don't know why. See, again, both of those movies were big parts of my childhood.
Yeah.
For whatever. I think it's mostly because we had taped them off TV.
Yeah.
So out of the 20 options we had, they were two of them. So I just watched them a lot.
Was it the one... For me, it was like when you'd go to the video store and you'd have to, like, pick 10 movies. And
right.
So you'd always end up...
You'd get
the new ones first and then you'd always end up filling out the 10 with things like Loch Ness and Jumanji.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of Robin Williams. It was things like Mrs. Doubtfire and...
Yeah, yeah.
fuck, I'm struggling. Patch Adams, stuff like that.
Yeah, Patch Adams wasn't bad.
So for me, like, I just love Robin Williams. And, like, I mean, I wish he was still around because I'm guessing they would have found a way to to include him in this one, which would have been cool. Yeah,
but I don't think the fact that he that there wasn't, I mean, apart from the slight reference in the hut in the forest,
right?
I don't think the fact that he wasn't really a part of it was detrimental. In fact, I think the opposite. Like, because I've got, unlike you guys, I've got no strong feelings towards Jumanji, the original whatsoever. Like, I remember watching it as a kid. I remember kind of liking it. I think because you guys are a couple years older than me, I think, like, I was maybe just like a little bit too young for it, maybe at the time. I don't know. But it just had no huge impact on me one way or another. But
you were saying your brother was into it though, yeah?
Well, that's the thing. I think it's weird with my brother because like he tends to be like a lot more passionate about films that like came out a couple of years, maybe too soon for me. It's like my brother is 2 years younger than me, but for all intents and purposes, he's 2 years older than me. Right. And it's weird. But he like dad sent him a message because we saw Jumanji all when I was away with the family for Christmas. My brother was overseas and dad sent him a message with you know, my dad's very specific film reviews, like 3.75 stars or whatever it was.
Fantastic. Two decimal
and
places.
Yeah, my brother was like, my brother just sent one back and like, I don't want my childhood being ruined. I don't want to see it. And I was like, what the fuck, Tristan? Like what upsets you about this? Like it's not really a sequel. It's not really a remake. It's not desecrating the original in any way.
I take umbrage,
a very respectful follow-up.
Yeah, it is. And I take umbrage with people who say ruin my childhood. It's like, well, first of all, your childhood still exists in its entirety.
Yes.
You're not a child anymore, so your childhood is also finished. Like, I honestly, just that and saying I personally
I
hate.
I actually think that Jumanji, in a lot of ways, is kind of the perfect way to reboot a franchise in that it doesn't rely heavily on the nostalgia for the original.
Yeah.
It doesn't. If you'd never seen the original, you'd be fine. There's like one tiny reference and that's it. Or maybe more that I didn't notice because I, again, I'm not that close to the original.
It's pretty much just that
one. I think it was just the one,
And otherwise, you know, it completely stands on its own. It doesn't tread on the original at all. Mm. It just charts its own path. And I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think that's good. Like I said, I didn't need a direct sequel. If anything, that would have probably, because it has been so long, they would have been tripping over themselves trying to pull that off anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, to me, it felt so different from the original one. And like you mentioned, Cunny, stakes. If you want to watch a movie that teaches you how to raise stakes, Jumanji's the one to do it, because not only do the challenges get harder as they go along, the characters are basically being like...
Kid turns into a monkey.
They're getting weaker as they go,
but the
stakes are getting higher. Yeah. Like, it's honestly, it's a fucking masterpiece. And I think the reason for maybe, whatever age I was when it came out, I think because it actually, you didn't know that everything was going to be all right. Like so many kids' movies, so many movies in general, you know how it's going to end. You're like, I can pick it. For that one, I legitimately didn't know.
And I was quite frightened by it too.
Oh, yeah. It was proper scary.
Particularly the hunter, man.
Yeah, the hunter. You've got those horrible flowers, like the stampede. That stampede coming through the wall.
I mean, by today's standard, it's a little bit shit. But back then, fucking hell, man, it was crazy.
There's
so much about Jumanji that I just really love. And particularly, I love that the hunter is played by the same actor as the dad.
Yeah.
And it's just because he's always been afraid of his dad, and now his greatest fear in the world of Jumanji is the hunter.
That's beautiful.
And he has to learn to stand up to him at the end. It's just beautiful. Even, you know, when Robin Williams comes back and he's walking around his old house, and he's looking for his mum and dad, and he has like this nostalgic trip where he goes through the town and everything's changed because he's been gone for 26 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone says, oh, your parents are over on Jefferson Street, and he goes there, and it's just a graveyard.
Yeah.
And he's just kneeling at the grave of his parents.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And then you got these two kids who are like, oh, we need you to come back and play the game. And he's just like, fuck the game.
Like, right. What? Yeah. Like, that's it. Like, what other kid movie had those levels of like real world problems? And like, even for the kids, they lost their parents. They're living with their aunt. Like, the boy doesn't talk for the first half of it or whatever, only to his sister. Like, these are proper characters in a kid's film that has real stakes.
Even, you know, the character of Sarah, who they have to convince to come back into the game as well.
Yes.
She's completely fucked.
Yeah.
Like, she's a full character, which, I don't know, you don't get, particularly in the newer Jumanji. There are a few that are just very thin.
It definitely is a... Yeah, because like saying all that, I don't really remember any of that about Jumanji. I probably should rewatch it
by
the sounds of it. But, like, the new film definitely felt kind of weightless. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but like, I do think like my vague memories of the original Jumanji were of it being like a bit deeper and a bit darker than this.
Yeah.
It had dramatic weight.
Yeah, absolutely. Which this one doesn't have. And you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, but like, I don't imagine that in 20 years' time, kids who have grown up and are our age will be talking about this Jumanji the same way that you guys are talking about the old one.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there seems to be this weird narrative that's being built around it, being like, oh, you know, it's a surprise hit, it's way better than people thought it was, all of that. And I'm like, no, like, I saw the trailer and I was like, that's probably going to be a fun and totally forgettable time. I saw this and The Greatest Showman like a day apart.
Right.
And both of them were films that I was like, I had a fine time in the cinema. It was like, a perfectly serviceable couple of hours of my life. I was entertained, and then I walked out, and like a day later, most of it had gone. Like, this is not a film that stuck with me in any way. This is not a film
it's a pop music film. You listen to it, you have a good time, and then you completely
forget it. It's fine, and there's totally
a
place for films like that, and I'm glad I saw it, and I totally enjoyed it. I mean, it has a scene where Jack Black discovers his penis for the first time, and that was worth the price of admission alone.
It's a gift to cinema, really.
But it's not, this is not going to be a film that I think people are going to remember, or it's going to stick with people or anything. I barely remember it, and I saw it like a month ago.
Yeah, and that's, as you touched on, it's thematically, it's weightless.
Yeah.
And that's why that's why we keep coming back to the original, because we just love it, and because it had so much to it. But I mean, people have loved this new film because the reception to it's been massive. I think it's 76% Rotten Tomatoes, which isn't always the best.
Because
I think sometimes critics come into a film like Jumanji and they think, well, it's probably not going to be the best. And then by the sounds of it, they're all like, oh, it's actually, it's okay.
It's a surprise win, so it gets extra points for that.
So it kind of inflates its rating a little bit.
It was definitely better than it needed to be, I think. I think they would have got away with it. It was a less cynical film. Like, it was a perfectly good-natured movie. But like, I think, for example, the one thing that really stood out to me, and maybe this is like harkening back to like, again, vague memories of the original, was the whole Nick Jonas character. I was like, I'm pretty sure that like in the original, Robin Williams finding out that he'd lost 26 years was a lot more heart-wrenching than Nick Jonas being like, damn.
It's heartbreaking. He shrugged it off in like a minute. Like, it was nothing.
There's so much pathos to that, being like, there's this whole life that's been lived in my absence.
Or
like that whole thing of being like, I've been here for like 5 minutes, but the world outside has continued without me for much, much longer. There was stuff to be mined there, and it's like, I don't know if this is like a sign of like a safer Hollywood that's like, oh yeah, no, kids don't want to deal with that stuff, or we have to throw the next CGI fun thing at the screen to keep the kids' attention.
Yeah.
We can't actually, you know, spend time on, I don't know, character. Right. But like, that said, actually, in some ways, character was somewhere where this film excelled. Like, the very idea of taking four actors who are known for their types and having them play completely against type, I think was like a really, really fun little subversion. But it wasn't much more than that. I personally think The Rock like has a type, and there's a reason he doesn't play against it.
Sure.
And I thought that his performance in this film was like I walked out of the film and my brother was like, my other brother, the one who, you know, wasn't overseas and, you know, complaining about
wasn't
a film that he saw
10 years ago,
wasn't having his childhood destroyed by this film. He walked out and he was like, I don't get why people like The Rock. He can't act for shit. And I was like, yeah, but he's like a modern day Arnie.
He doesn't have to.
But he doesn't have to.
They like him for legitimately him.
But in this film, where he wasn't playing him, it stood out like a sore thumb. Sure. I thought he was terrible in this movie.
You could see him flexing at the edges of his abilities.
Oh, yes.
But yet, he's still so charismatic that I bought into it. I was like, no, whatever, Rock. You can do whatever you want, man. Yeah. You know?
Karen Gillan surprised me, because I normally don't rate her, because like, I'm a Doctor Who fan, and I thought Amy Pond was like one of the worst companions of all time.
Right.
But and Nebula and Guardian. Just whatever.
Yeah, it's not much of a
character. But I thought Karen Gillan was great. And I thought Jack Black was the unquestionable highlight. I thought Kevin Hart was a bit frustrating, because like
he is Kevin Hart.
He was Kevin Hart. He wasn't actually playing the character he was before he went in.
Exactly. Yeah, that was my main issue with that character.
The others all were recognizably the characters they were on the outside. Kevin Hart just wasn't. He just like literally, he went from being like this big, stoic, quiet jock to just being Kevin Hart.
Right. Yeah. Kevin Hart's one of my like main issues that we'll kind of get into later. But yeah, he like literally, it's just Kevin Hart standing in the corner being Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh man, it's frustrating.
I mean, like, he will always get some chuckles, and he plays well off against The Rock. But yeah, like you said, his character, the kid who he was meant to be, isn't that person.
Also,
like,
There was a real opportunity for some stealth heart with the relationship between him and The Rock. Because, like, you know, at the start where Spencer's like, oh, you know, well, not like we were best friends for years and everything, when he's walking away, I'm like, because we've all at school, you know, had friends who we were really close to, and then you drift apart. All had people who it's like, oh, we wish that person, you know, we wish we could, like, go back to the way things were before or whatever. And, you know, you drift apart, you're on different social circles, whatever. Mm. And I think that there's, like, something really relatable and powerful in that they could have really tapped into. But it was like, yeah, by the end of it, they were just kind of reconciled. But there was never a moment where they really
There was
had
never,
to,
like, an all-is-lost moment.
Yeah, where they really had to contend with the fact that there was, like, this friendship that had been pulled apart.
Mm.
And I would have thought that over the course of the film, just because it was so clearly telegraphed, we would have seen them come back together in a big way, and that would have got me in the heart.
Yeah, definitely.
But
me
it
too.
Just didn't.
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely.
It's like, it actually is just that, like, the film, every time the film came close to, like, some pain, it just was it ran away from it.
Yeah.
Do we consider this a sequel? Because there's a bit of, I guess, if you want to call it a franchise, there's franchise continuity that they've kind of avoided, and that is in the original Jumanji, at the end of it, the kids, Kirsten Dunst and the other kid, have no memory of what happened, because it's Robin Williams' character's game. Whereas in this, you also have Nick Jonas' character.
Yeah,
technically, it's his game. They've come in and helped him finish it. But then they have all their memories intact, but at the end of it. So it's just that kind of shift. And they're just kind of like, well, it suited our story, so we're going to do it and forget about that.
They sort of, which is something that grates on me because, you've set up a world with certain rules. Mm. And the great thing about those rules is that they're logical, and that's often why the end conclusion feels so good when it comes and it hits all those ripe notes is because it's adhering to the rules. So as soon as you don't, you do lose
it's
something.
It's also a different iteration of the game, though. Like, because it's now a video game and not. So, I mean, like, I'm not, I get what you're saying, but I'm not super concerned about that because I'm like, well, the whole thing at the start is that, like, the game evolves for a new generation. Yeah. So,
see, I didn't love that either, to be honest. I liked the board game because I found it way more creepy.
Mm.
And again, because I wanted some creepiness from this. I liked, that it's this sort of old school thing. It could have existed forever. I don't know where this game's come from. Like, it's awesome to me that it...
Could you have done the Avatar approach, though, if you'd stayed with the board
game? No, but again, like I said, I really actually did enjoy this new Jumanji. But I also liked in the first one that it came into our world. Like, again, huge stakes. It's literally destroying everything.
The world,
We've already seen how many people it's destroyed just from when he went in there, like how you talked about the woman they had to go get to bring her back into the game. Like, her life was ruined.
Yeah,
his parents' lives were ruined. Like, it was so well done. And then when the game comes out into our world and is literally fucking up the whole town, that's killer. Like, to me, that was awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want to go with the Avatar thing, probably not, truth be told. You couldn't, unless they somehow went into the board game and it was much the same. But it would be a lot harder.
I honestly think the Avatar thing was, like, the film's smartest innovation because, like, if they'd stuck with the board game, like, what can you show us we didn't already see in the original film?
That was,
like,
the hook, wasn't it?
I think, yeah, and the hook, because, like, previously when somebody was like, oh, there's a new Jumanji film coming out, I was like, I am so disinterested. I just do not give a shit. And then when I saw the first trailer and I was like, oh, that's the premise?
Right.
That's a great premise.
Now, I had the complete opposite reaction. When I first heard it, I'm like, oh, I'm excited. And I think originally the first writer who was attached was the same guy who did Stranger Than Fiction, which is one of my favorite films, Zach Woods, I think his name is. And I was really keen. I was really excited. Then he went off the project and new people came in. And then when the first thing I read was that it's The Rock and Kevin Hart, and I'm like, oh, fuck. This is not going to be the movie I wanted it to be.
And look, I think that, like, it's weird because, like, normally I wouldn't make this argument. Like, I'd make this argument about two completely disparate films in different times.
But
it's weird to make this argument in the case of a franchise film that literally has the same title and takes place in the same continuity. But I almost think you can't compare this with the original because they're two completely different beasts.
Yeah, no, actually, I agree with that.
You have to because, of course, it's invited by the fact that it's a continuation of the same franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are completely different films with completely different concerns. Like, the first one is darker and more Spielbergian and all of that, and this one sets out to be light popcorn fun with kind of a fun, cool original premise at the heart of it.
Mm.
And for more or less, it achieves that. There are definitely ways it could be better.
Yeah.
But by and large, you know, I got exactly what I wanted from the film.
Yeah,
for sure. And I agree. And I think that's also why it has done so well, because it does know what film it is, and it's definitely not the original, but it does hit the notes it needs to. And, like, the comedy was great. It was I think that's why it's done as well. It's because you said it hit all those records.
Well, it's over 800 million worldwide. It's in the top five movies of last year in America, which is fucking huge when you consider what kind of movie it is. And even, like, things like in China, it smashed Star Wars box office.
That's
a mega hit. And kind of Dwayne Johnson sort of needed one because Baywatch misfired massively. Yeah.
Can we take a moment just to appreciate the scene where Jack Black discovers his penis?
Let's do that.
Like, I know that we flagged
Jack
it earlier.
Black in general, but, because,
But you know what I loved about his character? And this is, like, one of the things from the film that I think is, like, an unqualified win, is the fact that when I saw the trailer, I was like, Jack Black's playing a superficial teenage girl. That's hilarious. But I think we all assumed it was going to go a certain way. To be heaps and heaps of jokes about, you know, superficial teenage girl and a middle-aged man's body and everything. But he wasn't a punchline, or she wasn't a punchline.
No.
And that's what I liked about it. It was like, at first, you know, Bethany was horrified. And then she just kind of went with it and was fine with it. And it was the fact that, like, there was that oddly sweet thing with her and Karen Gillan where she was, like, teaching her how to flirt and everything.
And even just that you're saying her so much, like, that was the most amazing thing to me is that you're like, that's the girl character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, more so than the Kevin Hart one.
And once kind of the initial shock of it was over, which we all knew from the trailer anyway,
there was
definitely, like, situational comedy that stemmed from the fact, but it wasn't treated as like, oh, look, it's like Jack Black and it's a girl and it's Jack Black. It was like, that's what I thought the humor would be, and that's what I thought it would be from the film, but it just wasn't. It was like, part after that, you know, she was just part of the team and that was it, and no one cared, and it was just kind of, like, quite charming, and she was still a character who still had a story and still learned and developed and changed and wasn't a punchline. As kind of that, somebody made this point where it's like, does a film count as passing the Bechdel test if, like, one of them is played by a man?
That's good. So, yeah, I agree, because it's like the comedy came from the character, but but then was slightly heightened by the fact that it was Jack Black.
Yeah.
You have to remind yourself, oh no, this is a teenage girl we're meant to be seeing.
But I just didn't think that, I thought that would be like a one-off cheap joke that would just keep being reiterated, but it just wasn't.
No.
I actually probably liked Bethany the most out of all the characters in that film.
It should have been one note on paper, but Jack Black just made it work.
Yeah.
You wonder how much involvement he had in the script and stuff, because that's one of the interesting things when you follow Dwayne Johnson on social media and stuff, you see how long he's worked on these projects.
Yeah.
So he's been tweeting about Jumanji for 2 or 3 years. So that's like, I mean, you see these actors in the character, and I think they went too far with Kevin Hart, because Kevin Hart is not actually anybody other than Kevin Hart. He's actually really frustrating to watch. He has great chemistry with Dwayne Johnson, but he brings nothing to the table in terms of his character, apart from his weakness to cake, which was pretty funny.
That was great, yeah.
I actually quite liked that. But the team chemistry was probably the best element of all four of them.
And that's why I think the penis scene was, I know you keep coming back to it, but it was just so funny.
Yeah.
Like, I was in agony from laughing in that scene. And I think the reason for it, I just thought it was so charming, because like instead of her like opening it and being disgusted or horrified,
right, because that's what she thinks going to happen.
She just thought it was so, she thought it was great.
She was excited.
She's like, Martha, come check out my penis.
Yeah,
like,
it was, I
wouldn't go as far as to say it's a subversion, because it's not that clever, but like it just wasn't the way I expect that scene to go. And then when like, you know, he's got like, Spencer has the weird thing about aim, and then Kevin Hart has
keeps
the thing
going on
like,
about that.
He keeps
too.
Going about aim. We don't know why, but he just keeps going on about it. And Kevin Hart's like, you know, mine hasn't changed. First thing I checked. Like, it's just that, like, it was just a really charming, funny little scene that I just thought was,
And it came almost at the right time as well, because they've just landed there. It's all been crazy. Obviously, she's gone off and died. And weirdly, that's their bonding scene.
Yeah.
Like, it's, it works so well.
And that was the moment where, like, the team dynamic kind of clicked for me, where I was like, oh, I like this. I like these characters. And I actually kind of bought into the Spencer and Martha romance. I thought it was quite sweet and quite believable for these two characters, because it wasn't like the, oh, you know, the nerd gets with the, you know, super popular girl or whatever. It was just like, no, it was just totally believable. And it was just like, I could totally see why these two would be attracted to each other.
Yeah.
I can totally see why they fit. And the scene where they kiss, and it was just like that horrible, awkward teenage kiss that we all had at some stage. But with The Rock and Karen Gillan, who are two, like, beautiful people.
And who just committed to it.
It was so good.
Yeah.
I actually think, so there are three main problem characters in the film. And if two of them get a little bit of a tweak and one of them gets a bit of an overhaul, then the film kind of works. Because already it's general fun. It's kind of like, I think we've talked about this before, when a film's kind of like an Easter egg. It's bright, tastes nice on top, and this is hollow in the middle. And this is what this film was.
Perfect description.
Pretty weightless. But the three characters that I would fix are Spencer, Fridge, and the antagonist, Van Pelt, who I thought for the whole movie, I thought his name was Van Pout. I kept waiting for some pouting, and it never happened. I thought, what the fuck are they calling him that for?
That's amazing.
But Van Pelt, he's the one who kind of needs an overhaul, because that the...
It was a really terrible villain. There was no sense of danger.
He's probably the worst movie villain of 2017. Mm. I can't actually think of a worse one. I mean, Rita Repulsa was pretty bad,
pretty bad.
She had a purpose,
and
this guy's got nothing.
Was pretty bad in Thor Ragnarok, he wasn't even a character. Like,
he was by far the worst, and they can kind of get away with it a little bit because he's the video game character,
right?
But I agree. Yeah. I think you need to try harder. But Spencer,
but even then, they could have even used that the way they'd use that with what's his name character, the New Zealander.
Oh yeah, Reese Darby's
Reese Darby, thank
you, Nigel. I think it was
He kind of was fitting the mold of that. You know, non-playing character who repeats himself. You could have had that with his video game character and, I don't know, made it so because he is just a video game, like, you can't kill him, you can't hurt him, you can't stop him. Like, he could have been really ferocious and
like
terrible.
Yeah, like a Terminator.
Exactly. But he was just...
He could have had a lot more fun with it, but he's just very bland and one note all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't really tell you anything about him. I can't really remember him much.
Yeah.
Because he was just that bland.
Yeah.
But Spencer, I think, is your lead, and he's the one you want to fix first. But I just don't think there's enough going on with his character. He's a little bit stock standard.
No,
and I
agree.
I think that one of the most interesting parts of the film for me was near the end when they've beaten Jumanji and he kind of goes, oh, what have we stayed? And I was like,
here we go.
But fucking annoying, because completely unearned. You've done nothing to build like the building blocks for why he would want to stay there.
Yeah.
And that's one thing you need to change with him.
Too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, that would be beautiful if he was like genuinely... I wanted to buy in on that moment and I just didn't. I found it a cool idea, but I'm like, why though?
Yeah, that should have been in there from the get-go. Like, it makes sense for his character. In this world, he is The Rock.
Yes.
And he's kicking ass. He's literally got no downside. What was it? The terminology they use. He's got no weaknesses.
No weakness.
Yeah.
He's literally got no weaknesses. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think... I'm so annoyed because I was doing school holiday workshops with kids over the Christmas holidays.
Yeah.
And the first thing I do when I'm like teaching character, how to come up with a character is like, all right, come up with a character, likes, dislikes, that adds details and strength and weakness, because like weakness is what makes character interesting. And every single one of them was like, but in Jumanji. And I was like, oh, you fucking little
sons
shit.
Of bitches.
Like, it was so annoying. But I was like, no, but Spencer had weaknesses. Exactly, that's what I had to keep pointing out. But every little smart ass was like, but in Jumanji, you didn't have a weakness.
They can work around that. Like, they could have and they should have. Even if the Rock's like the Avatar is, you know, he's got no weakness. You want Spencer's weaknesses to be pushing through because they're just too
and
big.
I think for that moment to be earned, you need Spencer to show more excitement at the fact that he's the Rock.
Absolutely.
Like and that I think would have added more to his character too, because like for the whole film, he's just still like terrified and jittery and everything.
Yeah, he's just nervous.
And there are very few moments, unless I'm forgetting stuff, I know there were moments where he was like, you know, showing off his newfound power and stuff, but it would have been really exciting if like, if you want to add that little bit of complexity and everything, show scenes where he kind of like takes something out on Fridge or sort of acts up or like or lords it over everyone with the fact that suddenly for the first time in his life, he's like this fucking god.
Right. And they've got to rein him back in.
And they've got to rein him back in. And then like, I don't know, I just think there's something to that where it's like, you know, you got to think about characters as like, you know, points of identification for the audience. And like speaking as, you know, a former, well, current like skinny nerdy guy.
Yeah.
Like if I was growing up as a kid, an insecure kid, and I watched that film and I'd identify with Spencer out of all of those characters. And then you're looking at like Spencer suddenly the Rock.
Right.
There is totally like a wish fulfillment thing there.
Definitely.
That you could have done something with where he was like, oh my God, I'm so excited by this and I'm actually enjoying this.
And then like,
and then has to learn to let go of it because it's not that Smolder Bravestone that's important. It's Spencer that's important. And that would have been a really
good
arc.
That he started to sabotage them going home because he wanted to stay in the game. Like, how good would that have been?
Yeah.
He's like, why would I want to be Spencer when I can be Smolder Braveheart?
Absolutely. Like, that's, like, at the start, and this is what I'm talking about, building blocks at the start when we had him, when we saw him when he was at school, you need to make him more of a loser. You need to strip him down a bit more.
Yep.
Make his family life shit. Maybe mum's not there or dad's not there or they fight and his siblings are shit, or maybe they're a little bit better than him and he's just this outcast. Don't give him that friend at school either.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
He's got the friend.
Yeah.
So then it just becomes a bit disingenuous when he wants to be friends with Fridge and he's kind of
pining. Why, is he
why
so
won't Fridge be
it?
Friends with me when you've got this guy here who wants to be your friend? It makes me not like him that much.
Yeah.
So take that away. Make him a loner. And then at the end, we believe that, of course he wants to be Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
He wants to be that guy at the end. You need to have these insecurities and he just didn't have any.
Again, pile on the weaknesses so that when you go into a world where the character has no weaknesses.
Yeah.
He's like, this is everything I've ever wanted.
Because he never hits, pardon the pun, but he never hits rock bottom. And he kind of needs to in this film.
Yeah.
And he needs, that's when, like, it should be about friendship. It should be about friends and them coming together and helping each other out. And they just don't hit those notes. And it's a missed opportunity to have, like, what you called before, stealth heart.
Yeah.
You don't have any heart.
No.
It's a little bit annoying. We have fun and you can eat your popcorn and watch it, but you don't actually invest in it. And part of that is his friendship with Fridge is so problematic for me because it comes to the fore when it's convenient for the screenwriters, but they don't actually do anything with it. Kind of like you said before, Gabe, like they don't push the issue and make them have like a confrontation. Like their friendship probably needs to be like the heart undercurrent through the whole thing, the thing that makes you invest in the story. And we just flat out don't. And it's just frustrating to watch that. It kind of starts out that way, but then like Spencer's attention shifts to Martha and Fridge like just becomes Kevin Hart standing in the corner screaming and crying.
He just steps up when we need a good gag, basically.
He has no arc at
no
all.
No arc at all.
Just,
And then afterwards when they're back in the real world, they're buddies. Yeah. Like, oh, well, that wasn't earned at all.
Like, not even one little bit. Like, even a moment of triumph. And am I remembering this wrong? But Fridge defeats the snake, yeah, doesn't he?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. He defangs
like,
it.
That thing happens. And not long after, Spencer's, like, literally throwing him to the wolves. Yeah. Killing him, basically. Which I found to be the most fucked scene.
Was that
in the whole
when
thing.
He...
When he sacrificed when he, him.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah. It's so fucked.
It's fucked.
I couldn't
like,
believe it.
It was... Yeah, it was... There needed to be more from that.
There's no backlash to that action. Mm. And I was like, oh my God.
That little scuffle afterwards, right? But then that was...
Oh, was it after?
Was that after or before?
I think it was before.
I think it was actually before,
I'm getting it all mixed up.
No,
but, like,
yeah.
but the bit where he sacrificed him, I was like, sacrifice yourself, Spencer, you
right.
fuck.
Right? He just, like, I think he respawns or whatever. And he's kind of like, what the hell, man? And you're
yeah,
like,
and
oh, okay.
It.
And then there's no fight. There's no, like, I thought we were friends. We're not friends. Like, there's no friction. Yeah, and it's like, that should have happened.
And you could have given Fridge more of an arc because he lost the gem because he was just basically being kind of, wasn't paying attention. So if that was part of his problem, this is a guy who's always lazy and negligent and can't bother doing anything himself, which, you know, he was getting Spencer to do his homework. But basically, if that was a bigger issue in his life that he needs to pay attention and actually take responsibility, well, then, yeah, you lost the gem, so guess what? You have to sacrifice yourself. But again, none of that came through.
There's that moment early in the film, you know, when Spencer's doing Fridge's homework for him.
Mm.
And I kind of want that to play out. Like, that should be this ongoing argument throughout the film, because basically what happened there is Spencer was kind of negligent and just copied his homework and did it for Fridge, and then Fridge gets in trouble. And that should be, like, a big thing for them, because Fridge is, like, not good academically, needs to have good grades because he's all about football and the football scholarship and blah, blah, blah. And so he should be like, fuck you, man. You're actually fucking with my future. Mm. You loser. They should fight. And there's just no, like... back and forth between them.
Yeah.
And that's the undercurrent of heart throughout the whole film. These two need to be like fighting with each other.
Yeah.
But they need to be friends, and that we need to see them, you know, come full circle at the end and be friends. And we just don't. It should be, you know, at the end when Spencer's like, oh, maybe we should stay here to Martha. Fridge should be in that moment too.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Like, don't worry so much about Bethany, but it should be a story of friendship and the, you know, relationship that he's building with Martha. But it should be Fridge also saying, nah, man, come back.
Right.
Like, everything you want is back in the real world. We don't have to stay in Jumanji.
You also really want more of the fact that, like, and again, this would be fixed if Spencer was actually enjoying being Smolder Bravestone.
Yeah.
Openly, more of the fact that Fridge is used to being, like, you know, the big, buff, high-status guy. And suddenly he's a small weedy guy and Spencer's the big muscly guy who everyone's looking to.
Yeah.
And Spencer's enjoying it, then that makes, you know, Bethany and Martha kind of, you know, work with him more, and suddenly Fridge is the ignored one.
Right.
You want more of Fridge being like, I've gone from like top dog to being just nobody. Now I'm like the lowest status member in this group. What the fuck?
Yeah. It's such a role reversal.
And and there's so much you can play with that. And then you sort of like feed in the whole thing with the homework where, you know, like Fridge can be angrier and angrier at him being like, you know, you fucked up my future. And he's like, I was your friend and now you make me do your fucking homework.
Yeah.
Do your own homework.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you know, there's so much in there that it was just like, I mean, it felt like almost like a second draft of a script. Not a bad second draft, but one where it was like somebody could have come in and been like, okay, there are pockets of like drama and tension and stakes and emotion here that you can actually open up and mine some really good stuff that I believe would actually get this film, because it's a great premise.
Yep.
Within the framework of that great, because a great premise isn't enough.
Mm.
Like, within the framework of that great premise, could actually come out with a film that is as memorable as the first one was for you guys.
Yep.
And, you know, has that weight and relatability.
It's one of those annoying films, isn't it, where the pieces are kind of just there.
Oh, they're all there.
And they haven't actually just done the little tweaks. So it doesn't need a full, you know, makeup. It doesn't need the full maintenance. It just needs like a few little prods here and there, and it suddenly comes alive.
Yeah.
And that's, basically you just need to end Spencer's story with that fear of everything I've done to build myself up, to build my friendship back up with Fridge, to build things with Martha, that might all go away if I go back to the real world.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's why I want to stay. And they don't. They give you a half-assed thing where you're kind of like, oh, all right, fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just frustrating.
And even the win at the end to get on top of the mountain and put the gem back in, that felt way too easy.
Yeah, definitely.
Again, I'm going to compare it to the first one, because the first one, everything was so friggin' hard.
Yeah.
To the point that you're like, I don't know if they're going to get this, or if they do, there's going to be a cost to it, because there's been a cost to every move they've made.
Yeah.
Where this one didn't, there was no cost.
How do you feel about the lives thing, how they get three lives? Because in the original, obviously, the stakes kept going up, and it's because they kept getting chipped away at. Like, Kirsten Dunst's character gets poisoned.
Yeah.
The kid turns into a monkey. Things are going very bad, whereas in this, it's just kind of like, oh, another life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
See, I mean, I like it because they actually did do the video game analogies pretty well, I think. I quite liked some of the stuff they did there. So I think that, I don't mind having the lives thing. I guess having it that they cared about them more, like it was a greater loss when you lost a life. So especially with him sacrificing Fridge, like, that should have been way bigger, because like, I've got an extra life, but dude, now I'm one life down. Like, if I only had three lives and I lost one, well, that's a third of my lives.
Yeah.
I would not be happy about that.
In a terribly dangerous situation like that. Like,
exactly.
One life down, that's one step close to death. And it's like, you just fucking sacrificed me. Like,
you're in the jungle. I could die like
And if they react more with more believable terror to losing a life. Like, yes. If I had three lives and I lost one, I'd be fucking terrified.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'd be like, shit, I already lost one life. That means I can lose another one very easily.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so much in that, and that should have led into more anger there.
But again, it's that coming towards the danger and then veering away.
Stakes would
it.
Feel a lot higher if their reactions to losing lives was bigger, were bigger.
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, Nick Jonas's character gets bitten by a mosquito and dies. Like, and that was a big moment because this is him actually dying, and they managed to have a pretty good workaround.
Yeah.
But again, we should have had that emotion for every death, even if you've got three in the chamber. Like,
yeah.
It's a big deal.
That's how you build the stakes, and that's how you make people be like, oh, shit. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there was no point where I'm leaning in to the screen and being worried for these characters.
Yeah, like, I want a bit more tension. I want to feel tense.
And they did the hard part, which is making you like the characters.
Mm.
Like, I liked most of them. I was invested in them. But at the same time, like, nothing, it all felt weightless.
Mm.
That's what it boiled down to.
Yeah.
We've talked a bit about Fridge, but, I mean, when we meet him, he's, you know, the stoic, tough, proud teen. He's keen to impress the girls. He's the footballer. But then he just becomes Kevin Hart.
Right.
And I wonder, from a writing point of view, do you tweak the screenplay with that, or is it simply a matter of recasting Kevin Hart?
Good question.
Is Kevin Hart capable of playing the character we needed?
Okay, you know what the solution is?
Yeah.
If you want to go with Kevin Hart, the solution is that when he was younger and him and Spencer were friends, he was like that. He was the loudmouth, fast-talking, sort of because he was jittery and insecure and a kid.
Mm.
And then when they hit puberty and he suddenly grows like 3 feet... And suddenly he's cool and everything. And if in the early scenes you have moments where that Kevin Hartness comes out and, you know, maybe, I don't know if you have like a flashback to them as kids and you see him as being like the, you know, the jittery fast talker. Right. That also invests us a bit more in the friendship. Because we're not just told that they're friends. We actually see them being friends.
Exactly, right. And if we had moments where they, as the kids before the game started, where we see them together one-on-one and we see a bit of that Kevin Hart Fridge. And then we have another scene where they're with the rest of the school kids. And one, he's ignoring Spencer.
Yeah.
But two, he's being someone he's not. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, there's his arc right there, is to learn.
And that justifies Kevin Hart. Otherwise,
Kevin Hart strips that character of sort of any authenticity, really.
Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, like, so much of Kevin Hart's humor does come from the fact that he's a little guy and like they use those jokes. But yeah, you've got a big guy in a little guy's body. You could even if you want to just go down the jokes thing, you could have him trying to do things that he can't physically do anymore, which I mean, they did have a little bit of.
They did, but probably only like once or twice, whereas that should be his thing until he learns that, no, I need to find another way.
But when it does happen, it should actually hurt him because he's gotten so used to being, you know, like you said, big guy on campus that he actually goes, you know, withdraws into himself because he's generally like, I don't know who I am anymore. Mm. So he needs to learn who he is as much as Spencer does.
Just like the way of speaking as well. Like,
it's not
like,
at all.
It doesn't match up at all because like Bethany still talks like Bethany. But why does Fridge go from being like, you know, slow, deep, measured voice to being like,
what the hell? You know?
Yeah. No, both the girls were perfect as their characters.
Where do we lay the blame on that? Do you blame it on the actor? Do you put it on the screenwriter? Or is it just a matter of like the direction just wasn't strong enough? Because someone at some point is like, Kevin, like we get that you're a comedian and an actor and this is your shtick, but for fuck's sake, play a character.
I wonder if it's a studio thing where it's like, but Kevin Hart has to play Kevin Hart.
That's like, probably what
and
it
if
is.
If it's a matter of like, you know, because I'm sure that Kevin Hart improvises heaps. He's a comedian.
Right.
So like whether it's a matter of like it was written differently in the script and then Kevin Hart came on and he just was Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
And maybe the director was kind of like, oh, well, maybe we do it this way. But maybe the studio's like, no, you've got Kevin Hart. You have to like capitalize on Kevin Hart.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. But
no,
like,
I think that's fair. They're like, no, we've hired Kevin Hart. We want to see Kevin Hart in our film.
Yeah. I wonder, it could be like a combination of things of like, you know, the director did. I mean, because I mean, it's big budget Jumanji sequel in 2017. Like, I don't think anybody was like, to be completely honest with you guys, I don't think anybody was especially intent on making sure it all matched up or made sense or mattered, because they obviously weren't, because there were so many places where the film fell short or didn't fulfill its potential.
Mm.
So yeah, I think it was a matter of them just not really caring enough to follow it through.
Yeah. I also, just on Fridge, like I wish that his main triumphant moment, which was the thing with the snake, which actually happened quite early on for him but I wish that it had come about based on like a Fridge thing rather than the skills of the video
of the
game
character?
Player.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's just been gifted to him in the game. It's not any of his own doing.
For sure. And something that's not related to him being big and good at football.
Yes.
So he can say, I've got values beyond those superficial ones that everyone now is lauding me for.
Yeah.
And then that is his triumphant moment of, well, first of all, he comes in, he's a little guy and he can't do the things he can usually do that makes everyone love him. But there's still the stuff there to make people love him. Like this, he's still got qualities that are right. worth valuing.
Yeah, like I'd even like it. It'd be really nice if they foreshadowed it by applying something from like the school assignment that, know, that he's making Spencer do for him, you know, at the start, and have Spencer trying to teach him, and you have Fridge being like, no. But then later the lesson has sunk in, and then it's like a nice moment.
Yeah.
Like a nice bit of growth, and it brings for them closer together or something. And that proves that, you know, they don't need the game enhanced powers to succeed.
Yes.
Whereas I just think the movie went too far down the road of, it's all about, you know, you've got super strength and you've got this.
Which is fun. And again, it's the wish fulfillment thing. Right?
Yeah. And your weakness is poison. Wouldn't it be everyone's weakness?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that one was weird.
They didn't use that at all like I thought they would. I thought you'd have Karen Gillan being poisoned and they'd try to make an emotional moment out of it. But they used it as like a punchline at the end for her to just respawn and give them the thing to win the game. But yeah.
Yeah, you didn't really need to. Like obviously, if you're going to get bitten by a snake, that's going to kill anybody.
Yeah, definitely. So the antagonist is probably the one that annoys me the most because they're just in what they already have exists a very easy chance to make like a compelling antagonist. Mm. And that's just a real missed opportunity.
As it stands, you almost feel like you could take him out and it wouldn't even matter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like what we get from Bobby Cannavale was probably, he's the most cardboard villain of the year.
Oh, yeah.
By a country mile too. And the funny thing is they also kind of just like maybe get away with it because he's just a shitty video game boss.
Right.
Doesn't have to be deep and complicated. Like they can argue against that. You can criticize them for that and they can be like, well, it is a video game. So can't we do that?
That was why I sort of forgave them for it. Like, and yeah, exactly what you're saying. Like I watched it and I was like, you could be better. But like, because I kind of bought into the video game aspect of it, I was like, well, yeah, I guess that's what he is. So
yeah. But I'd also have more fun if they tried something different with it. So I think that the first move you need to make is Alex, played by Nick Jonas. It's fucking gone.
Okay.
Get rid of him.
Yeah.
Also, Nick Jonas doesn't need to be in the film. He's garbage.
Well, it just kind of felt like a really half-assed attempt to sort of redo the Robin Williams arc from the first one of the guy who'd been stuck in the game for years. But with none of the heart or focus or anything, they just couldn't follow it through.
And again, none of the stakes. Like, Robin Williams came back as a wild man where he was living it up, making cocktails and chilling out. Like, he really didn't. None of it seemed to faze him overly much.
I think you keep the character of Alex, but you make that character be played by Bobby Cannavale's villain.
Oh, okay.
So instantly, I think it's an improvement on the villain because it's a real person and not just like this video game. You know, he becomes one of the avatars. So there's five of them in the game now.
Hmm.
But you have it. Like, you still have it that he's been in there for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So imagine being stranded in a game for 20 years in the Jumanji jungle. This guy's gone insane. So you add that, you know, in the real world, Alex was a loser like Spencer, perhaps. You have a bit of similarity there.
Oh, yes.
Played the game alone. And then he doesn't want to leave.
Because...
for 20 years. Yeah, right? But I think he's gone through that stage already.
Right.
Like, you imagine being in there for 20 years. You go through everything. Like, he's tried to get out. He's failed. All of these things. Like, he's just completely fucked up. It's kind of like how they advance as far as they could. He's done the same. But you reach a certain point in the game where it's just impossible to do it alone. You actually need help, which I think is kind of should be the message of Jumanji. You're not in it alone. You've got friends. You need help. Like that should be the thing. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs friends. Should be kind of like a message that you come out of the film with.
Yep.
So imagine Alex, you're playing that character of Van Pelt. He was down to his last life, perhaps. So maybe he's been in there 20 years and he's been trying and he's lost two lives. So in desperation, like I reckon he would take over all the bad guy minions.
Yeah, he's collecting power to protect
his
last life. Yeah, I like that.
And also, he's trying to get them to help him complete the game, but he very quickly finds out that because they're just fucking useless because they're scripted.
Right.
Like, they're on a loop and they can't actually do the things that he wants them to do.
Yeah, they're all NPCs. They can't help you,
They can't say or do anything. They're just, you know, they're victims of their writing, basically. So Alex, he's just gone insane over the course of 2 decades because he's trapped and living out, you know, this fake life with fake humans. Like, imagine how unhinged this guy would be.
Yeah, you would go insane.
Like, even, like, imagine a fun scene. You know, when they're sitting around the campfire, you know, and they're having their bad guy talk or whatever and all of that. And just imagine him, like, being involved in that. And then it just plays again in a loop.
Yeah.
And he would just go along with it. Because I figure at a certain point, you choose between loneliness or just being surrounded by something.
Yeah.
And so he's just having the same conversation.
You could have
play
an amazing
over
scene
and
there.
Over
you could even have, like, a scene where one of the bad guy characters asks him something. And he opens his heart and says all this stuff, all his emotion.
Beautiful.
And then at the end, they just like ask him the question again. And there's no actual reaction to it.
And it's just like a short one-word answer.
Right.
He's just dead inside. Nearly.
Yeah.
So now, like, imagine on top of that, you have these four kids now enter Jumanji. And suddenly for Van Pelt, it's the first change in, like, you know, probably in 20 years, it's the first time something different has happened in the game.
Yeah.
So where he'd become disillusioned, he's now energized. He's got to stop them from, in his head, stop them from winning the game or else he's stuck in there forever.
Yeah.
So this is part of the film that I actually liked what they did, where they're getting chased, you know, and the chases are just that little bit shit. Like, they're just a little bit slower when the time comes. Their gunshots just miss by a little bit. And it's all perfectly understandable because they're, you know, it's a video game.
Right.
Of course, they're not quite as good as the bad guy.
Yes.
So I'd like to see, you know, some confidence from the guys grow. Like, Spencer and all those guys start to think, this is all right. We're going to be able to get through this. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have Van Pelt sort of step up. And he's a real person. So he's capable. His shots don't miss. And perhaps, you know, that's how they're starting to lose a couple of their lives.
Yeah, he should definitely take one of their lives, if not more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he should be very threatening.
Yep.
Rather than, especially, he's very inactive in the film. He just kind of sits there and gets his guys to do it.
Yeah.
Again, he's a video game character, doesn't really know any better, but make him a person and he does.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When he kills them, it's so much more haunting because he's a person, he knows their people, and he's literally stealing their lives away. Like, that's huge.
Like,
that's
everything he does is like chipping away at his humanity and kind of what's left of it, which is, I find, quite interesting.
Mm.
I do think ultimately they would need him, and perhaps they'd probably, you know, the kids get as far as they can in the game as well. So to realize all players have to band together to win Jumanji, and they've got to team up with him, I think.
Right. You could have a great moment there where they realize, oh, shit, we can't leave without him.
Yeah.
And so imagine going to the bad guy who's been trying to kill you the whole time and be like, let's band together.
And they have to convince him that you can't leave without us either. And he's kind of like, what the fuck? But then, so they team up. I reckon he'd probably flake out and betray them, you know, as is probably standard at some point. But then may become good. Because I kind of love, like, the good redemptive villain, you know, like Ed Harris in National Treasure. He's a bad guy the whole way through, but then he has like this redemptive arc right at the end. It's quite nice. I see something like that for the character of Alex.
Cool.
Like, I don't actually think he would get out of the game. I think he probably dies.
Right.
There is another take on that, though, because I think that's awesome. But I think, what if you really want to hammer home the parallel with Spencer, what if he's a character who's come into the game and he's made that choice of, I don't want to leave because I've got power here. And he's been living it up for 20 years, being like, or maybe they do it the game thing where it's like a shortened amount of time. So he's only been in there for like a year.
I like him being in there for a long time, personally.
Yeah, so I think either so or, but like, you have him in there being like, I don't want to leave. And then you shift forward Spencer's moment of, what if we stayed a little bit earlier?
Yes.
And then Spencer has to convince Van Pelt to come with, because like the threat for Van Pelt is, if they win the game, we all leave.
Yeah.
So Van Pelt's actively trying to stop them to keep them in there. And then maybe Spencer has the moment of being like, oh, what if we stayed? And then he has to decide not to. And then it's up to him to convince Van Pelt to work with them.
Right. What if Van Pelt and Spencer actually flip? And it's Van Pelt is kind of like, oh, no, I see a way out. And I desperately want to. And Spencer's like, no, but I'm powerful. I want to be here. And then Van Pelt would be like, look what 20 years of power gets you.
Right.
Look at me. Like, and he's just dead inside.
For sure.
That could definitely be the thing. Because I think that Van Pelt's got to be that lesson. Like, he doesn't need to say it. There's that scene early in the film where the principal very, like, hams it up and drives that message home. I can't remember what he was saying, but he was kind of like, you only get one life and you got to make the most of it. And the emotional music kicked in and I kept waiting for them all to laugh.
Right.
But the film played it seriously.
Yeah.
Kind of want that near the end. And Van Pelt's like that lesson without saying it in a hammy way, but he's just kind of like, you're always going to be stronger together and you don't have to be alone.
Yeah.
I've been alone for 20 years and look what it's done to me. Like, you don't have to be like that.
Because
I think, you know, ultimately Jumanji's about finding the real you. That's what it's got to be. And it's about embracing the individuality of others and everyone sort of coming together. That's Jumanji for me.
That's
what I loved about the original. And that's just a little bit of like the thematic and the heart and all that sort of those things that were missing from this one. That's all I'd really tweak with it.
Yep. Yeah, and I agree. And you've chosen the right characters for that because, talking it through, then we've basically come up with ways you can mirror that theme across all of them. It's a thing they all need to learn. And I think, I think the two female characters do learn that. Like, they realize there's parts that they don't have that the other people do, and that together, well, they get to do it. She teaches her how to flirt and all that sort of stuff.
I didn't really have an issue with either of the female characters.
No,
I thought they were brilliant. Awesome. If anything, they're probably the two biggest strengths of the film.
Right.
For
a
Hollywood film.
It's quite strange, isn't it?
Anyway.
But the biggest issue is the antagonist, because while it does technically work because he's a cardboard villain in a video game world, it just would have been nice if the fifth player was him. And then you can bring home those things with Spencer and really hammer home the point that you want to tell the story about. But That's sort of what I would fix. But, I mean, this has just been greenlit for a sequel.
Right.
Which sounds fucking crazy and it's true. I don't know what you guys think, but where would you see this going? Because it's a challenge, definitely.
To me, I think there's only one way to keep it fresh and interesting, because obviously they're going to bring back all the same actors. And I think it would be a bit of a cop-out if the actors were suddenly, if they were all advertised for different characters, unless they all go in and suddenly Bethany is Smolder. So something like that. That I think would be the only
another way you could do
interesting
it
is, way. Like, if they all different people, different avatars.
You could also have that the game comes out again and the avatars come out, so we get both the young versions and the avatars fighting side by side, but the avatars are now...
The avatars.
The avatars.
Yeah. So Spence has to team up with Dr. Smolder Bravestone.
I do think the problem here, you know, obviously getting green light for a sequel because it's made heaps of money, but like the reason people like this film, because it's the only part of the film that like that is quite strong, is those characters, and you like those characters and you invest in them as a team and they're good. It's a big risk to bring them back and either switch them so it's the same actors playing different characters, or even like if they do come out and they are the avatars, they're going to be playing different characters, so it won't be Smolder or Spencer or whatever.
It's true.
So there is...
I think they'll keep it the same, and I think they'll have done something in their time in Jumanji that's messed with the world a little bit.
Okay.
And they'll get the call out to come back. And even if they said it, maybe they're off in college and they've all kind of broken up a bit and gone separate ways, and it's them coming back together. Mm. I think that's probably the way to do it.
Also, they smashed the game with the bowling ball. How are they going to get a game back?
That was what I liked about it, because like when I finished,
it seemed
like,
finite.
It's done. There's no sequel to that. What are you going to carry on? Like I mean, obviously there's stuff that could be fixed, and we have been doing that. But like, I finished the film and I was like, I don't need more.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I actually thought that the scene of them smashing the game with the bowling ball was like the most definitive way to be like, when it was like, you know, when there was the beating, it was like, oh, they're setting up for the sequel. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought was one of the freshest things about it. It was like, there was no tag. It was just done.
I think $800 million changed their mind.
Yeah.
I feel like, if I'm being honest, as much as I like to, you know, be like, oh, storytelling integrity, $800 million would probably change my mind too. So, you know.
How many sequels did you want? Two? Three?
And on that note, I've been Carney.
I've been Gabe.
I've been Damien.
And if you want to come into the jungle with us and discuss Jumanji, you can reach us at moviemaintenance@sanspants.com, or you can find us at Sanspants Radio on Twitter, or at MM Sanspants, or individually, I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
I'm at Gaberg Moser.
And I'm at Midday Pajamas.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support the show, why not become a member at SansPantsPlus.com and get early access to our shows, a bunch of exclusive content, and much, much more. That's SansPantsPlus.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.